this morning's session. Climate is very heavy. Dividends of the glory. Let's lift your right hand and worship in 1 minute. Quietly and gently. Thank you, Master. In Jesus' precious name. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 8. Whom having not seen, you love. In whom, though now, you see him not. Yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable that is full of glory. We have two objectives this morning. To understand the dividends of the glory, and to also understand destroyers of the glory. Why is it necessary to walk in the glory? Why is it necessary to not just live normal, ordinary, casual? Why is it necessary to not rest until we experience the glory? It's important to note that the glory is not for show. Not just for show. The glory is not just for ordinary manifestation. There are dividends of the glory. I'm going to use 5 D's to identify these dividends. Number one is delight. Delight. The glory realm is the realm of unspeakable delight, joy. The glory realm is a realm of unbelievable excitement, unbelievable, unspeakable joy and excitement, according to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. The glory realm is the realm of deliverance from depression. It's the realm of deliverance from despair. Is the realm of deliverance from discouragement. When a man, a woman is in the realm of glory, he is absolutely delivered from existence in frustration. You can't be in that glory and be a victim, a candidate for frustration. Number two is distinction. Arise, shine. That was Isaiah chapter 60 verse 1. Our reference to the first one was the first Peter chapter 1 verse 8 we read. Now arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. The glory occasions distinction. You cannot carry the glory and not shine. You cannot carry the glory and not stand out in life. There is something unmistakable about the man who carries the glory. There is something unmistakable about the woman who carries the glory. In the midst of the crowd, the glory, the man of glory stands out. You can't end in obscurity with the glory. No devil can claim ignorance of your existence in your family, in your community, in your nation, in your city with the glory. The glory of God cannot rest upon a church and the city is not aware that the church is there. The glory of God cannot rest upon a business and the community is not aware that the business is blessed. The glory of God cannot rest on an institution and the people claim ignorance of that glory of God. The glory of God cannot rest upon an individual and people don't notice that there is something different about this man. The glory makes the difference. If you are ever to see the tabernacle in the Old Testament, or the Temple of Solomon, what demarcated it from other buildings was the glory cloud. The glory cloud. The cloud of glory that was upon it. Is God speaking to somebody here? If you are not going to do church like any other church, and you are not going to do business like any other business, and you are not going to do ministry like any other ministry, and you are not going to live your life like any other life, you need a mark of the glory. You need a stain of the glory. You need a stamp of the glory. Found myself in several places around the world. And literally in the crowd, you stood out. Someone will look at you and say, there is something about you. What is it? Inside the aircraft, there is something about you. What is it? There is something about you. What is it? Delight. Number two, distinction. Number three. Now, you cannot be lost in the crowd with the glory. You cannot be buried in obscurity with the glory. Number three is defense. For upon all, the glory shall be a defense. We saw that scripture earlier on. in Isaiah chapter 4 verse 5, the glory of God, and the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and a smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense. The glory defends against danger. The glory defends against adverse climatic conditions. He said, there may be heat in the land and there may be everything in the land, but upon all the glory shall be a defense. It is the glory of God that makes you not to feel what they feel. Let's read again Isaiah chapter 4 verse 5. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense. Verse 6. And there shall be a tabernacle, that same glory, for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert from the storm and from rain. That is, irrespective of what people are feeling where you are not aware because you are shielded by glory. This construction happened in the midst of recession, the worst in this country. We were not aware. For upon all, the glory shall be a defense. Where men say they are cast down, you shall say there is a lifting up. The glory shall be for a defense. Where people die before your time in your from your family, and where people don't survive from the community where you came from. Upon all, the glory shall be for a defense. Beloved brothers and sisters, you need that glory. In order not to die as a victim and be buried like chicken, you need that glory upon your life to defend you from the wickedness on the earth. One day, Moses, after he finished ministering, the children of Israel rose in anger. They carried stone to stone Moses. And God rose up in the glory. Numbers chapter 16 verse 42. God rose up with the glory. Who do you want to stone? And it came to pass when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it and the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, get up from this congregation that I may consume them. The glory appeared. They wanted, they have not done it yet. They were planning to ruin Moses. And the glory stood between the man and the people. When God was through with them in his anger, 24,000 people died on the spot. But oh, the glory is a defense. Anybody who dares a man who carries glory is on a suicide mission. Any man, any woman, any boy, any girl, any group of witches or wizard who dares a man who carries the glory of God upon his life is on a suicide mission. And I stand here by the prophetic mantle and the apostolic mantle to declare, everyone daring your life, in your family, in your community, daring this church and any ministry connected, related, associated with this one in this season, I command you, buried by glory. Say the amen like a believer. Before this conference is over, you shall hear judgments that shall happen by the agency of the glory. You shall hear of judgments that shall happen by the agency of the glory. Shout the loudest, amen. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. That is to exist glorilessly, is to exist in vulnerability. You can't live your life like that. That is why the glory is an asset. We need the glory to deal with depression. We need the glory to have distinction. We need the glory to be defended. And number four, dividend of the glory is direction. 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 Inside the glory is direction. Direction for life. Direction for ministry. Direction for destiny. In Exodus chapter 13 and in verse 21. Exodus 13 and in verse 21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud. That is a glory cloud. To lead them the way. And by night, in a pillar of fire, to give them light. To go by day and by night. The next verse, 22. He took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. The glory cannot be on you and you'll be buried in confusion. The glory can't be on your life and around your life and be a victim of misdirection. It is the glory that causes you to take the right steps at the right time and make the right moves at the right time. There are so many people today who are in confusion and from one thing to another because the glory is absent. One young man approached almost 5, 10, 20 ladies for marriage. God cannot be that confused. I mean, there are specific ways to do things. One person is starting to start church in this town and he couldn't start. Went to another town, he couldn't start. Went to another town, he couldn't start. And he's just confused as to where to start. God cannot be that confused. There is specificity in God. God is a God of objectivity. He's a God of plans and purposes. Deliberate intentions. He knows what he's doing. He does what he knows. Am I speaking to somebody here? You may be confused about your life or your destiny, but God is never confused. He is never confused as to what to do with your life. Beloved brothers and sisters, in order not to be a victim of missed opportunities and missed attempts and frustrated endeavors and confusion and all the things, the glory must be intact. Am I communicating? Is somebody seeing something now? So when you carry the glory of God upon your life, your steps are easy, your moves are easy. Take your seat. I don't claim to be an expert, but I knew that God led me to one woman in this world to be married to by his mercies. And it is possible for everybody. I knew that God led me to one location for the start of ministry in this world. I knew that before we came here, God gave me as much as a landmark to I learn
through the highway. In the Red Sea, created by the Lord Most High. Verse 2. Do I go through roadways unknown? And I go through the Jordan flow. And ride across Jericho wall. I'm on my way to destiny. Oh Lord, you brought me out to take me. You never brought me out to lead me halfway from my captivity into my destiny. You brought me out, Lord, to take me. Oh Lord, you brought me out so as to take. You never brought me out to lead me halfway from my captivity.
Third verse.
All I need to do to reach the end is follow.
Obscurity of a bad relationship, or brought you out of pain, or whatever it is. Maybe it called you from your profession. It's not going to leave you halfway. I prophesy by this glory tonight, He will take you into your destiny. He will take you into your financial destiny, ministerial destiny, career destiny, marital destiny. Shout the loudest. Amen. Thank you. Cloud was to remain there until they reach Canaan. Just remain there until they reach the promised land. Just be in front of them until they reach destiny. The glory of God upon your life is guaranteed to ensure that your journey does not stop on the way. The glory of God upon your life is to guarantee that you reach where God wants you to reach in life, in destiny, in ministry, and in your life assignment. That is why we need that glory so much. We read a scripture earlier on. Romans chapter 8, verse 30. For whom he did predestinate. See? Then he also called. Whom he called, then he also justified. And whom he justified, then he also glorified. Predestinate means destination determined before time. And then the meaning of that is the ultimate of our destination is our glorification. So if you abide glorified, you are guaranteed your destiny. The ultimate of our destination is glorification. And so if you dwell in the realm of glory, you can't miss destiny. You can't miss destiny. To walk in the glory is to walk in destiny. To fall out of the glory is to fall out of destiny. That was why when Adam and Eve fell out of glory, they were kicked out of Eden. When they fell out of glory, they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden, which was the place of their destiny. When we fall out of glory, you know, the moment Adam knew he was naked, it means that the glory had been lifted. The glory of God covered them. It covered them. They didn't notice they were naked. But when the glory lifted, they saw their nakedness. And that was the end of their tenure in the Garden of Eden. They were kicked out of Eden when the glory lifted. Somebody say a loud amen. A louder amen. I'm going to move to the next junction now. If the glory is that important, guarantees your fulfillment. The glory of God will make you, some people wonder why we do 9 hours in his presence. And the last time I have proposed that we may have 12 hours in his presence soon. And I can tell you it's possible to do 24 hours. Very possible. Very easy. If you watch the last one, we're battling with time at the end. By the time we're around 3 o'clock, on my note, I wasn't halfway yet. And people are telling me now that the 1st of October is a Tuesday and it's a public holiday, and that we can just be thinking of the 12 hours for that day. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Inside the glory, there is literally zero exhaustion. Inside the glory, there is zero frustration. You are just there, blood. I wonder why you dancing, moving your leg. And there is such joy unspeakable where there is the fullness of glory. If the glory is that important for your delight, for your distinction, for your defense, for your direction, and for your destiny as a whole, whatever it takes to get at the glory must be done. And whatever it takes not to destroy the glory must be avoided. I'm going to show you some now. What are the destroyers of the glory that must be avoided? All of them is classified under sin. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sin and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin disqualifies people from glory. The attempt at sin is an attack on glory. Living in sin eventually makes a person to live as a shadow of themselves. Shadow. That person could have been far beyond this. That pastor could have been far beyond that. That businessman could have been far beyond this. But he is a shadow of himself where sin is allowed. You know, the word sin is not a word that is mentioned in most places anymore. For fear that if you talk about sin, people will not go to church. But that is the lie of the devil. And I am going to mention one by one the things that can affect glory where sin is concerned. Number one is pride. 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 Arrogance. An exaggerated estimation of yourself is an attack on the glory. What was behind the fall of Lucifer? Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 to 16. How are you falling from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For you have said in your heart, and pride starts from the heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides. Be careful with over-celebration of your achievements. Be very, very careful. When the devil wants to destroy a man's life, and when the devil wants to kill the unction and the anointing and the glory you are walking in, he will introduce the seed of pride. And he will send people into your life who will tell you how you are the best thing that is happening in the world. The best thing that is happening in your family. The best thing that is happening in the city. And they pump your head until, before you know what is going on, you are out of the scene. Pride still goes before it falls. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. And a haughty spirit before pride goeth before destruction. And a haughty spirit before a fall. There are people who never arrived anywhere before pride arrived. You prayed for somebody, the blind eyes opened. And so what? It is meant to be a sign that will follow normal believers. You gave a prophecy and it was accurate, and so what? That is our normal realm in heaven. In heaven, nobody tells you anybody's name. You know everything about everybody once you see them. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? You opened the scripture and you were able to see light that no other person saw, and so what? What hast thou that thou did not receive? And if you received it, why are you behaving like you didn't receive it? Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? If you are eloquent in speech, who gave you the tongue? Moses said, I cannot speak, I am a child. He said, who giveth the tongue? I can make you dumb and I can make you speak. If you have a singing voice, another person does not have a singing voice. Who gave you the voice? How did you originate it? That you will raise your shoulder like a peacock. Move about. So many people have been killed by pride. They they haven't reached anywhere and they have arrived. That was the destruction of John. Let me not mention the name. Pride. Somebody is pastoring 5,000 people and his head, the whole members are under pressure. Chief executive officer. When you are traveling on the road, highway, there are road marks. Bend. Bridge ahead, this and that, slow down. One of the roadmarks in our journey to eternity is titled Beware of Pride. Pride does not only take your glory, it takes you to hell. Because it is the practical nature of Lucifer. You cannot carry the nature of Lucifer and end with God. There are many people who should have been bigger than what they are now. But they settled before time. They became over-celebrated by the applause of men and settled. You know what happened to Nebuchadnezzar? Daniel chapter 5, verse 18 to 20. O thou king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar your father a kingdom. And majesty and glory. You see, glory. He gave him glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would he slew, and whom he would he kept alive, and whom he would set up, whom he would he set up, and whom he would he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, it starts with the lifting up of heart. And his mind hardened in pride. He was deposed from his kingly throne. And they took his glory from him. To pose is to be easily deposed. They took his glory from him. When pride was found in him. Every star has a glory, but that glory can disappear with pride. Beloved, there are many stars God raised in all generations, but many stars are missing from the sky now. They are missing. They are missing. I'm talking about in my own little short lifetime and little ministry. People that were highly celebrated ministry-wise and otherwise in times, who are missing in action now, not that they have died, still alive. I saw one man boasting many years, who was boasting, he was so big and so anointed that no other person can lay hands on his head. He missed longest time. He missed until he missed out of life as a whole. Destroyer of glory, number one. You see, when anybody who start talking to pump your head, begin to advise yourself that this is one of the person that is probably sent to destroy my life. Run. If you are sent to serve under a ministry, don't let any member pump your head that you have enough anointing to be president and founder. If God does not found it, you will be confounded. There are founders, it's in scripture, many founders are confounded. Am I communicating? God, you don't become a pioneer of ministry because of capacity to preach. Not because of manifestation of signs and wonders. Not because of prophetic capacity. For no man taketh this honor upon himself. Except he that is called, as Aaron was. Hallelujah. Somebody lift up your right hand and say after me, say, Father, I receive grace to be delivered from pride. Say it louder. Say, Father, I receive grace to be delivered from pride. One more time. Say, Father, I receive the grace to be delivered from pride. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. It said in Jeremiah chapter 10 verse 14. Every man is brutish in his knowledge, and every founder is confounded by the graven image. There are founders that are confounded. Especially founders that found what God did not found. Can take it off. So number one, destroyer of glory. I was in Ghana last week, preaching at the Full Gospel Businessmen Fellowship National Convention. When I was through, one of the, they did a radio interview for us. And the lady who interviewed us said, after she knew where we were coming from and the things, she has heard of the Glory Dome and heard of all that. She said, I have been observing you and your wife since you came. You see, I have seen an unusual level of unassumingness, simplicity, and humility since you came. You see, I've been watching you people. She said, what is the secret of being able to see some level of result and yet remaining like this? I said, the easiest secret is to remember where we were coming from. Just to remember just where we are coming from. Just to remember that it's not of him that willeth or runneth, but of him that showeth mercies. Just to remember that it was not fasting, it was not anything. Just remember where we were, where he picked us up from. And to remember that there are those who fasted more than us and did many things more than what we did and are not at the same place. Just to remember where we came from, where we are coming from. And I said, anyone who remembers where he is coming from must reach where he is going. Pride is a killer of glory. Number two is lies. Direct like that. Lies. Falsehood, insincerity. Psalm 101 verse 7. It said, he that walketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. That is where I dwell, in the realm of glory. He that walketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. Lies. Psalm 24 verse 3 to 5. Psalm 24 verse 3 to 5. It said, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands, a pure heart, has not lifted up his soul unto vanity. He has not sworn deceitfully. Lies. 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 Exaggerations. Fabrications. There are those who fabricate testimonies that didn't happen. There are those who fabricate miracles and wonders. Fabrications, lies, insincerities, existence in falsehood, double standard living. It dissolves the glory. You know, part of Lucifer's official title is a liar. In John chapter 8 verse 44, when Jesus was talking to the people, he said, you are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father. Look at the New Living Translation, and you look at For you are the children of your father, the devil, and you love to do the evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character. He's not doing anything strange. That is who he is. For he is a liar and the father of lies. If you go to the Living Bible and the Good News Bible, if you have any of them, you are the children of your father, the devil, and you want to follow your father's desires. From the beginning, he was a murderer, and he has never been on the side of truth, because there is no truth in him. When he tells a lie, he is only doing what is natural to him. One translation says, because he's the father of life, one translation says, it is his natural language. The Living Bible said, there is not a, for you are the children of your father, the devil, and you love to do evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning and a hater of truth. There is not an iota of truth in him. When he lies, it is perfectly normal. For he is the father of liars. You know there are people like that, and they carry the title pastor. Brethren, as I was coming this morning, I heard the Lord clearly as I have ever heard the Lord, that I must take a seat right now. He heard nothing. The worst thing that can happen to anybody is to lie against God. That God said what he did not say. It's better to say, I have a leading, or I need to take an offering, we have to do this or that. To say, I heard God clearly. He spoke in this right ear. He spoke in this right ear. You know, as I'm talking now, it is a laughing matter, but it's a hellish matter. It's a fire, hellfire matter. I against God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Joking with people's destiny. Again, beloved, the time has come where you must be brutally sincere at any cost. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Somebody took my message and preached it verbatim. And then shared the testimony I shared inside the message as his own. It's the same message plus the testimony. You see, there are many people who lack the fear of God. There are people who are pastors, but they are not Christians. He has the title of pastor, but he's not a Christian at all. At all. He has not gone through foundation class. Take your seat. As a pastor, does your wife trust you? Can you say something and they say, yes, that is right? Or your children? As a minister, who trusts you? Who can vouch for your word? Then how much less the congregation? Lies, insincerity, falsehood. A lady went to take muscles from the thigh and muscles from the back to enhance muscles of the adipose tissue. From the side and everywhere to enhance the back. So that I can move about with artificial back that is not real. Bled to death. On operation table. Bled to death. To appear before God and explain to God. It's looking for lie. The back that is a lie. The chest that is a lie. Somebody say amen. Number two, see, we are talking about just exaggerate attendance figure. How can you say church is 5,000 when the hall cannot sit 500? No. Especially in places where you need to give account of the attendance. One man said that he was pastoring 11,000 people. And the church could, the sanctuary could take 1,500 people thereabout, and the chairs were not up to 2,000, and he was running three services that were not filled. So they moved him and posted another pastor. That was when the truth came out. Do you understand what I'm saying? Lies. One thing that I believe that we must, first of all, the pride must go, and then secondly, the lie must go. Number three is fraud, which is a product of greed. Financial misdeeds, financial transgressions, financial misappropriations, financial recklessness, financial crookedness, misdeeds, transgressions, misappropriations, recklessness, crookedness. People that can never be trusted with money. Can never be trusted with money. Never. Can't do a clean business with nobody. Can't. Can never be trusted with money. You know, Achan did not just lose glory, but he lost life. In Joshua chapter 7, verse 9. Joshua was talking to Achan. After Achan stole Babylonish garment. Achan was pulled out with his wife, with his children, and Achan was stoned to death with the whole of his family. 7:19, sorry. Joshua told him, he said, "My son, give, I pray you, glory to the Lord by making confession of what you stole." As we came for this conference now, there are demon-possessed people who came here to look for what to steal. Phones, tablet, whatever to steal. Those ones, their hell starts from here. If they gave you church money, pastor, don't divert it to yourself. Somebody brought me a check in 6 zeros. He said, "This is for the church." I opened it. It was my name on it. I said, "I am not equal to the church. The church is different. I am different." He wrote, "Don't put me in trouble. You wrote the check and put my name, and you said the church is for the church. Don't put my name. Put church name." I returned it back and sent him to where he should pay the check. Don't clash me and God. There are those who will carry the check and pretend they didn't hear. This is for God, for the work of God, for the church. The person needed guidance. He didn't know what to do. Because there are unbelievers, or there are people who think that the church money is also the pastor's money. It's not true. Hallelujah. I told our church people to pay church first fruit to church. That's church first fruit. The church, this church, our own church. I did it deliberately. He brought me a first fruit of their church last year, January. I said, "Didn't I tell you that we paid church first fruit to church?" I kept the money. I didn't take one cc from it. He brought another offering and said, "I won't take another offering until you come and take back the one you brought." He returned back this year, the first fruit of January 2018 was intact. untouched, refunded. We went this year, last month, July, when it was 1 year, 7 months. It remained in the same envelope, in the same title, untouched. It wasn't open, not to talk of touching it. Are you following what I'm saying here today? First of all, I need to protect my own life in terms of before God. And secondly, I need to set examples before those that I'm leading, especially the pastoral force here. You understand what I'm saying? The pastor should separate the church money from his money. It's not your money. It belongs to church. It's not yours. And to avoid temptation, let another person be in possession of the church check. Because if it's in your possession, you can sign anything you want anytime. The person in possession wouldn't be the person to sign it. So you balance yourself. You shield yourself. Am I communicating? Please take your seat. Is God speaking to anybody here? There are people who are wondering why things are not happening. Ministry is not moving. Things are not working. But there are so many things being done upside down, being done recklessly. And God is saying, I can't move. You can't see the fullness of my glory until this is put in place. That was number three, fraud. It deprived Achan. It deprived Gehazi of prophetic glory. It deprived Judas Iscariot. Fraud deprived Judas of eternal glory. Judas ended in hell. Fraud. Number four, strife. Contention. The life of strife is a glory, a destiny destroyer. It denied Lot the glory that he was to have with Abraham and landed Lot in eternal regrets. Genesis chapter 13, verse 7 to 8. And there was a strife between the headmen of Abraham's cattle and the headmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwell then in the land. And Abraham said to Lot, let there be no strife. Strife. Lot that Abraham carried began to quarrel and strive and struggle with the one who carried him. I'll come to that later. When it was time to choose a land portion, Lot transgressed massively. First, he didn't seek God's direction. Second, he didn't recognize seniority. Third, he forgot who brought him to where he was and decided to choose the watered area of Sodom, a place marked for demolition by God. Without his notice. And then left his uncle with dry land. But his future ended because of strife. Anybody who has invited you to strife has invited you to destruction. Strife. It was strife that worried Lucifer. I will be like the Most High. Can you imagine the creator contending with the creature, contending with the creator? And Isaiah chapter 45 verse 9 said, woe unto him that striveth against his maker. Woe to him that strives with his maker. Strive. Strive. Pastors, we might all be sons of the prophet. But let none of your co-brothers be a reason for contention. Contention will bring stagnation. When you begin to strive, you have taken your eyes off your vision, off your focus, in an attempt to outdo another. In the city where you are, refuse to have a competitor. Give expressions. Don't struggle to make impression. Give expression. Expression to grace. Wish everybody well. Everywhere God wants you to go, may you go there. So that I too can go where God wants me to go. It is true that God gave some people 5 talents, some 2, some 1. Supposing you are trying to contend with somebody that was given 5, and you were given 1. It's not compulsory that everybody will build a 50,000 seater. It's not compulsory. It's not. See, you don't know the potential combinations of the person. Only God knows. And God will judge him for his content. Content over impact times 100. That is percentage of everyone's life's productivity. What has the man been given? What has he been able to do with it? That is the judgment of a man's productivity on it. Are you following what I'm saying? I had the gift of receiving songs in different ways. Different ways. If such a gift does not exist or doesn't exist yet, because I didn't initiate it. I didn't say, let me start writing songs. If you see God, ask him. I just realized that one day I was dreaming and singing, and the whole place was so anointed with the singing, and I woke up and remembered what I was singing in the dream and recorded it in the phone. And then it continued to repeat itself like that, and in different ways it was coming. I didn't sit down one day to say, let me start writing. I didn't. Then somebody say, my father in the Lord has a lot of songs. I must. And then he's now struggling to see how to form songs. And the songs themselves, they have no bearing on his life. What does not move you? Can he move anybody? Take your seat. Am I speaking to anybody here at all? Now, this is how you shift from level to level. Faithfulness at your current level multiplies grace. That is, in case you are trusting God to see more giftings and graces in your life, just donate yourself to what you see working, what you see functioning. Donate yourself unreservedly. Deploy your life. Just do it to the best of your ability. And then you say, oh, this guy is faithful in this little. Give him more. Engrace more. Multiply. Shift him to more miracles, signs, and wonders. Shift him to some dimensions in the prophetic. Shift him to certain dimensions here. That is how it works. Not by trying to copy people or contend with people or vowing that you must do it more than another person. Or I'll do or deshine. Take your seat. If I stop here, I've already overpreached. There are those who struggle in the days of the healing revival. Somebody has 10 that can see 10,000. Another person say, my own will be 10,500. Someone went and measured the tent of Oral Roberts physically. Measured it. And he told his own constructors, increase it by 500. So that it can be said that this one has the largest tent, gospel tent. That ministry did not survive. The person who was involved in that ministry did not reach anywhere. Died under 40. Hallelujah. Look at somebody by yourself and say, I am not in competition with you. We are not in struggles. You are my brother. Yeah, if you're sister, you say sister. Please don't call anybody brother if it's a sister. That's one of the worst transgressions you can commit. Look at them, say, I am going to sharpen you. Iron sharpeneth iron. Anywhere you see something good happening, celebrate it. Celebrate God for it. Because what you don't celebrate, you cannot attract. Don't be angry that church is growing, or be angry that they built a new building, or be angry that somebody just went forward. Genuine celebration from your heart, whether it's spiritual father or spiritual brother or spiritual son, celebrate it so that it can gravitate towards you. What you attack, you cannot attract. What you don't like, you must lack. What you are not happy with cannot happen for you. Strife is a killer. Many people are out of everything. The same strife that made people to go to the devil to look for power. I must have it like that man is having it. My ministry must grow like that one is growing. Whatever it takes, I will get it done. And they go to all manner of extent. If it is life, if it is cheating, if it is anything, I must get it. I must get it. I must make it. I must make waves. Listen, not everything that glitters is gold. Take your seat. Are we communicating? Strife was number four. Your mentor is your inspirator, not your competitor. That was what Lot did not know. Your mentor is your inspirator. If there is anything like that, any word like that, not your competitor. Your brother is your completer, not your competitor. That is what many don't know. What is it that can destroy the glory? Pride, lies, fraud, strife. Number five is heresy. Heresy. Heresy is the situation where truth is stretched to the extreme. Truth that is stretched to the extreme becomes heresy. It is true, but it is extreme. There is some iota of life. Now, heresy is in the category of lies, except that it is more dangerous than lies, because heresy is recruiting a people unto the nation. For example, we are saved by grace, not by works, through. Not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of him that showeth mercy, through. But live anyhow you want, because grace has covered the sins you are to commit. Lie. Because he said, work out your own salvation. Even though it's not of works, yet there is an element of working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Humanity is always struggling to err, struggling to miss road. They miss it to this side, they push you. Then try to miss it to that side, push you. The scripture is central and is balanced. Am I communicating at all? God is a God of mercy. Yes. You do the wrong thing, acknowledge that you have done wrong. He will have mercy on you. It's better to confess your sin than to defend your sin. So it's better to confess and repent than to defend and conceal.
That is a merciful God. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? I'm just giving one example. I've known of men. In the 70s, there is a man I know. If I mention her now, my sister will know. She used to come to Utupu for mega crusade. She was anointed man of God. I don't even want to mention anything. So this man, very, very heavily anointed. Grace. Raw miracles. He was in the class of people like Archbishop Benson Dahosa at that time. With massive late 70s. All of a sudden, he went into, I think, 30-something days fasting or 70 days fasting. Began to read the book of Daniel and began to try to calculate mathematically when Jesus will arrive. From then on, he stepped into heresy and disappeared from the sky. I am talking about 40 years ago. He has not recovered his life. He hasn't. He's still alive. Marriage is gone. Another wife has come. All manner. He has not recovered his life. He hasn't recovered his life. Heresy. Heresy. The Bible is simple enough. It's easy enough to understand and believe. And there is a way to know heresy. When you are right and everybody is wrong, you are wrong. You are right. Every spiritual father is wrong. Every friend is wrong. Every brother is wrong. Every relation is wrong. Except you and your tiny group are right. Then you are wrong. There was someone, I think within the last 30 years, I don't know of anybody who has that combination of graces like the man. If I call him, all of you will know who came from America. Combination of graces. Everybody went for his meeting. Or a robot sat down in his meeting. Everybody. Archbishop Idahosa would travel from Nigeria for the meeting. Grace, any grace you can talk about. Anything. I don't want to go into more details. Suddenly he came out and said, oh, even God cannot create an eternal hell. But everybody will make heaven. Homosexuals, lesbians, everybody, you are all welcome. Buddhists, everybody. I will pass to all of you. He disappeared from the sky. He's alive today. The first time anybody knew that somebody like T.D. Jakes existed, it happened from his pulpit. Terrible heresy. Till today, I listen to some of the songs that came in those meetings. I have a playlist of it. Sad case. You see, there is nothing that you have seen that another has not seen. Pride many times leads people to heresy. Please take your seat. I am so anointed. I am so deep. I have so much revelation. I see things that others don't see. I know things that others don't know. It leads people into heresy. Heresy. Take the wrong decision. And before you know it, the man is no more. I've passed in some cities in this country. And I looked at auditorium that used to be jammed to overflow. And I'm looking at it and people... One day I asked somebody, I said, is this church still existing? I say, it is existing. Heresy. Heresy. Foremost number one voice in the land. Gone. You will not lose that glory. Lift up your right and say, Father, any revelation that will lead me into damnation, may I not see it. Lift your right and say, Father, every revelation that will destroy my destiny, may I not have it. Take your seat. Did anybody get anything today at all? Every one of us who have traveled from far places, is it worth it? I'm grateful to God. Number 6. Wrong company. There is somebody who can be called your friend. There is somebody you suddenly begin to relate with that will kill the unction and dry up the glory on your life. Wrong company. When Jesus was born, his star appeared in the east. Wise men followed the star, but they mistakenly branched the house of a man called Herod. And obviously, the star disappeared. It was only after they came out in Matthew chapter 2 verse 9 that the star went before them. When they had heard the king, they depart. And behold, the star which they saw in the east went before them. Which means for as long as they were missing road and trying to ask questions, the star disappeared. Especially after they went to the house of Herod. There are people who walk into your life and the glory walks out. There are people you walk into their life and that is the end of the anointing. Can I take it further? There are altars you step on that you will need to pray for the return of grace. And there are those who will step on your altar and whatever was there can disappear. Grace, I'm telling you. A pastor came with his wife. I don't know if he's here. He's from an area in Abuja here. He said he saw someone and he thought the person was a good person. And invited the person to his ministry. He said the person came and ministered and then did something very strange. He said, is it that he said everybody should pull their shoes or something? And then he was going to match everybody's barefoot or something? He did some things very strange. The man may be here this morning and maybe he will tell me later the exact thing with his wife. Everything dried. Unction dried. Membership disappeared. Finances dried. By one encounter, the man was crying in my office. You know, when a man is crying and his wife is there, he can cry in the absence of his wife. But he's crying, his wife is there. You know, it's a great concern. You know, women, their own, it's normal for them to cry. In fact, it's very, very natural. In fact, the tears can flow easily. But this man was crying. He said, I made a mistake. I thought he was a good person. One of our men told me the other day, a minister in quote, how are you? Long time. Shook hands with him. That handshake imparted something. He said he began to pray on the spot against the handshake and what he was feeling in his body. And the man who shook his hand has visited him twice in the dream for negative action. It's not everybody wearing suit that is a priest of God. And he met him in a minister's conference. The wrong company. Many of us are genuine oil, but your friends are wrong oil. Oil that are wrong. Oils of divination. Oils of Simeon the sorcerer. Many of us, God says, I can't do anything with you because of who is around you. Abraham, get out from the company you are in and let me do something in your life. Be careful. And if the devil is angry with the calling you have and with the oil and glory you carry, he will organize a bad friend for you. He won't come and call himself a bad friend, but he will organize him anyway. Not everybody who speaks like you is like you. And in the end times, the Bible said, there will be so many false prophets, false everything, that if it were possible, the very elect will be deceived. That is, genuine people who are real didn't know the difference. You will not miss it. I said you will not miss it. Lift your right hand and say, Father, I receive the grace to avoid the wrong company. The glory of God on my life shall not be wasted by the wrong company. Take your seat. How many of you know that everything we call demon now was once called angel? Every demon was once an angel. Angel of light, flowing in glory, under very strange unctions and graces. Suddenly, a man called Lucifer shifted and they accompanied with him. And by being in the company of Lucifer, the angelic capacity disappeared and demonic abilities emerged. Beautiful angels of those days are now looking like ugly dragons with horns. No angel had a horn. They got transformed into evil personalities. There are people who came to destroy the beauty of the grace you carry. There are people who came around you to destroy the dignity of your calling. One young man came to me and said, I should pray for him. He's a music minister. And that they are calling him. They say, if you do this and that, let me take you somewhere. They will do something for you. Then your CD will sell. Then your voice will be heard. Then they will know you everywhere. Then they will be inviting you. You see, I'm not looking for that. Hallelujah. Was that number six? Number seven. Immorality. A killer. A destroyer of glory. Adultery. Fornication. Sexual activity. Pornography. Masturbation. Lesbianism. Sodomy. Samson was a man of very massive glory. That glory degenerated by virtue of immorality. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 3. He said, my son, if you start from verse 1. The prophet, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What? My son. And what? The son of my womb. What? Verse 2. The son of my vows. Give not your strength unto women. And if you're a woman, it can be read, give not your strength unto men, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. If you are a king and you are a queen that carries glory, that glory can degenerate rapidly by immorality. Let me warn pastors and just counsel. If you carry any anointing at all, if you carry any glory at all, there are agents of the devil whose mission field you are. The way you are in ministry, there are agents of the devil, you are their ministry. That is, the devil, now whether you are man or woman, the devil empowered, anointed, and assigned. In case you doubt me, look at Samson. How shall we pull down this man? This man has destroyed our kingdom. What can we do? Then a prostitute say, excuse me, I am an expert in doing that kind of work. Give me a try. And assigned him to Samson. That was why when Samson crashed, there was celebration in the kingdom of darkness. She was paid. There are people on demonic pay for your head. Look at John the Baptist. How shall we, what shall we do to this man? They bring his head. Can I say something to you? Pastor, if you think you have the calling of God, there is discussion going on your life now. Now, as I'm talking, there is talk. What talk? Both in the kingdom of darkness and in the kingdom of physical. That is why women pray for your husband and husband pray for your wife. Well, what can we do about this man? Now, listen, let me give you a typical example. How far with that man? I have tried my best, but the man is proving difficult. Typical discussion. The man is proving difficult. He's very bold. He's very fireful. He's very audacious. I tried my best, but he's very rugged. Even though he's simple, but there is a way that I'm not able to penetrate. Go ahead, my friend. Just keep on. Keep on. Put the pressure. He will bow. That's discussion. There are those who have been given assignment. There are those who don't have any assignment. Who, in weakness, just fail. Am I communicating? Bible says, let everyone that thinks that he stand, take heed. Lest he falls. I am not saying this to frighten you, because grace, where sin abound, grace doth much more abound. But when you are aware of the war, it is half won. There are people who came not for counseling. Not counseling they came for. They don't have any problem. You are the problem they want to solve. Problem to the kingdom of darkness. Problem to witches and wizards. Problem to principalities. They want to solve you. That is, you see, these things are important for us to know, so that you don't just overrelax yourself. It's important to know. They are even wondering why you are still standing after 10 years of ministry. Why? Why? Stand up on your feet. Haven't you? And listen to me. Whenever you are messing up, signs and wonders and things may not stop. Immediately.
For many reasons. Please be on your feet.
For many reasons. One, God is a merciful God. So he gives people long time. He's long suffering.
Not that he's giving you time, you die in that thing, you go to heaven.
No, he's just waiting. Can this boy come to his senses on time? Can this girl come to her senses on time? That's one reason. Second reason is when you turn off power from a fan, it doesn't stop rotating immediately. So, the gift and the callings of God are without it, so they are there. Third reason, the devil temporarily withdraws his resistance.
In fact, he may assist you to see more things. To deceive you that nothing was wrong. To deceive you
that you're on the right path.
So after you messed up, you came out and you saw more miracles that you have never seen in your life.
Oh, really? Then this thing is not that bad. This thing mustn't be too bad. And then you are on and on and on. And you arrive at a place of no return. Then the Philistines begin to rejoice. If you are a member of church, whether you are a man or a woman, your greatest love for your pastor is love him enough to pray for him for the anointing to remain. Any passion of heart that is towards having him physically is from hell. And the question you ask yourself is,
if I succeed in making this man have relationship physically with me,
am I okay to defend the destiny of millions or thousands that will be jeopardized? Can I answer God?
That I am the tool the devil succeeded in using.
Think of it.
You get one physical pleasure in the flesh, and then a generation or a congregation is lost. Because the oil dried. By that association, he's now imparting
the audience with the filth of his spirit. What have you succeeded in doing? And you stand before Jehovah to account for why you are the one that the devil, that agreed with the devil. Think about it. Somebody say amen.
Like I have said, God is a very merciful God.
If there is anybody who has maybe had this kind of challenges, it may not be outright anything, but you are battling. This is your bus stop. The devil will not succeed.
Why don't you agree with me in faith?
The devil will not succeed.
The devil will not succeed. I say that devil will not succeed.
We are going to pray now. When you leave here, don't forget one statement. That as you are here, there is discussion going on. In your life. It's possible to say, God forbid. But reality is reality. That is, you can never stop the devil from being devil. He's going to and fro, from Job to Job, from Job to Job, from Job to Job. He will do his work.
until the time that God arrests him and his assignment is over. He will do his work. And one gift the devil requires to be given is the gift of tenacity. Capacity to keep going. You didn't succeed with the man. Let's give him 3 months and try again. You didn't succeed with the girl. Let's give him 6 months. Let's re-strategize. But they will never catch you. That amen is too paralyzed. If they have caught you before, the last is the last. That amen is too paralyzed. It has been said that knowledge is power. I declare the release of fresh power. Fresh power by this knowledge that will help us to surmount the agenda of the devil. Well, we have been told what it takes. And we have been told what destroys the glory. You will never be a victim. Can that amen be louder? That is the merciful part of God. He gives you this kind of message and then reassures you that he has mercy on you, that he's able to help you to stand. He's able to help you to do his will. He's able to help you to make it. I re-prophesy again, you will not be a victim. You will not be a victim. Lift up your two hands and say this prayer with me. Say after me, say, Lord Jesus, I come before you today to receive your help and your mercy. Thank you for your word to my life. Thank you, Lord, for the delight and the distinction and the defense and the direction and the destiny that is fulfillable and achievable by the means of your glory. Father, I receive the grace to escape pride. I receive the grace to escape lies. I receive the grace to escape fraud. I receive the grace to escape strife. I receive the grace to escape heresy. I receive the grace to escape the wrong company. I receive the grace to escape immorality. I receive that grace. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, lift your hands and lift your voice and speak to God. Speak to God. I receive your help and your mercy. I thank you for your word to my life. Thank you for the delight, for the distinction, for the direction, for the defense, for the destiny that is achievable by the glory. I receive the grace, Lord, to escape the pride, to escape the lies, to escape the fraud, to escape the strife, to escape the heresy, to escape the wrong company, to escape the immorality. I receive the grace, Lord, in the name of Jesus. If there is anybody who will tell you that there are people who are not tempted, he has lied to you. Because the Master Jesus
was tempted, just that he was without sin. Father, the grace to escape temptations as frequently as they come. The grace to overcome. There are some whose feet almost slipped, but God had mercy on you. The grace to consistently overcome. The grace to consistently be in victory. The grace to consistently be in triumph. I receive that grace, Lord. I receive that grace, Lord. Lift your voice and speak to God. I receive this. In the name of Jesus, lift up your hands. He told me today, among other things he'll be doing, there will be the repair of the altars of righteousness. Repairing the altars where maybe convictions have been tampered with, or maybe the passion of before, the stand for truth and sincerity and honesty and purity had been mellowed down before already. Say there is a repair of that altar. You are going to lift your hands and say, Father, repair my altar. And anybody who is desperate enough, and you know your case is a serious one, and you want God's help by all means, you can come towards the altar and go on your knees. As you come with your Bibles and your bags. Father, I need a thorough restoration and repair of my altar in purity, in righteousness, in uprightness. That's right. Quickly, the rest of us lift up our hands. You are right there. I need a repair of my altar. This is a pastor's conference, and this is the best place to, you can go on your knees. This is the best place. Yes, it's okay. So, it's all right. The best way away from the congregation where you can answer an altar call and then nobody is looking and saying, why is the pastor going out? Quickly. As you come with your things, except somebody's watching it for you on your seat. Ushers, please emphasize it to them. Because like I said, there are thieves who, like Judas Iscariot, are not afraid to steal in church. While they are coming, rest of us will lift up our hands. Father, I need a repair of my altar. I need a repair of my altar. I need a repair of my altar. I want to become more serious with God. I want to become more serious in holiness, in uprightness, in righteousness, in purity, in character, in integrity. I want to become more upright. I want to become more upright. I receive the grace to be upright. I receive the grace to stand in holiness, in purity, in uprightness, in righteousness. I receive that grace. Open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth everywhere you are. Receive the grace. I receive the grace.
You're an only, tried and true.
I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a sanctuary. Tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
We're going to ask God for fire right now. Fire of purity. Fire of cleanness. Fire. But before we, in Jesus' name, before we ask for that fire, you are going to ask God all the seven things mentioned. Father, am I guilty of pride? I'm sorry. Am I guilty of lies? I'm sorry. Am I guilty of financial misdeeds and transgressions and recklessness? I am sorry. I'm guilty of strife. I refuse to be in competition with anybody. Am I guilty of heresy? Am I preaching heresy? Forgive me, Lord. What about the wrong association? Father, disconnect me from everyone that is wrong for my life. Deliver me from immorality. Deliver me from masturbation, lesbianism, sodomy, anything that is immoral, adultery, fornication. I ask for mercy. Forgive my sins and help me going forward. Lift your hands now and begin to talk to God. Isaiah song.
The Lord High, and His strength filled the temple. Above it to those who run, with each one having 6 weeks all around them. Oh, I see them coming, and his strength filled up temple. Have a view to those who run,
with each one.
With each one of it, she's ready. Oh Lord,
and I'm so afraid.
Lift up your hands, tell me where you are. Father, I am asking for the fire of purity, of righteousness, of uprightness. Let me say this. Hands are lifted. One of the things the devil uses to multiply iniquity is the spirit of seduction. And one of the greatest weapons of seduction is appearance, is dressing. As children of God and as Christians, please don't contribute to destroying a generation by seductive dressing. Expose cleavage, expose back. All manner. You know what I'm talking about. What the people try to wear to go to nightclubs and all that. You can't do that. You can't bring that. You can't walk with that on the street. Not to talk of coming to church with it and defiling the atmosphere with seducing spirits. Pastor's wife, you are a mirror for the congregation. The way and manner you appear sets a pace for the congregation. If your dressing is bad, theirs will be terrible. They will improve on your own. You are worsening the case for the membership, worsening the case for the workers, worsening the case for the pastors, for your husband. Let this fire purify our wardrobes. Let it purify everything. I have noticed that it is possible to be dignified and have decorum in appearance and still look very attractive. You can be attractive without being seductive. And that should be the goal. We're not saying dress drab and look ugly, no. Please, let's take that, because most assemblies today, even where the pastor and his people are trying their best, the congregation is still doing what they want most times. How much less when they have the license from the Mrs. Pastor? Going to the altar, struggling to climb the stairs because of this tension on the body. Please, God will hold us responsible for the congregation we pastor. Sila, lift your hands now. Father, say it louder. Say, Father, release upon me fresh fire. The fire of purity. The fire of righteousness. The fire of uprightness. I receive it. I apply for it. I receive it today. Father, let something change in my heart, in my life, in my mind. Let lies and fraud and strife and immorality be burnt off my life. Today, by the fire of your spirit, now, open your mouth and pray, 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 pray. And I said, I'm not afraid of the dark.
For I am a donor, please with your coat, cleanse me, make me ready for your use. Please with your coat, cleanse me, make me ready for you.
In the name of Jesus. We are going to ask for that coal of fire now. Those on your knees, you can stand. And everybody be on your feet and lift up your two hands. I believe that this fire will burn off every trace of unclean garment, filthy garment that is a healthy man there that is not needed. Lift your hands. Close your eyes. This is deliverance fire. Deliverance from masturbation.
And I said, woe is me. I am undone, O Lord. And then I said, woe is me. I am undone, O Lord. Please with your cool. Cleanse me. Make me ready for you. Please with your coat, bless me. Make me ready.
In the name of Jesus, hands lifted. Say, Father.
Father.
I receive
the fire.
The fire. Of the Holy Ghost.
Of the Holy Ghost.
Now.
Now.
Lift it high. Say again, Father.
Father.
I receive
the fire.
The fire.
Of purity.
Now.
Now.
Father, let that fire fall. From the front to the back. From the left to the right. Let the fire burn. At the count of seven, you place the hand on your head and scream fire. That's right. And begin to speak in tongues. Something is burning already. It's burning already. One, two, three, four, five, six, and seven. Fire. Fire. A new day. A new season. Every discussion they have in the kingdom of darkness against your life will never succeed. Every conspiracy in the pit of hell against your marriage will never succeed. A new season, a new foundation is just laid in somebody's life, in somebody's ministry, in somebody's family. Lift your hands and your voice and say after me, say, Father, thank you for a new foundation for my life and my destiny in righteousness.